This is the Utah Politics Podcast for Friday, September 24th, 2021. I'm Brian Schott, political correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune. Today on the show, we're going to discuss the COVID-19 pandemic, vaccine mandates, the legislature's response to the virus, and the strain that it's putting on our entire system. Recently, President Joe Biden announced his administration would introduce a requirement for businesses with 100 or more employees to either have those employees vaccinated or test them weekly for COVID, which has generated a furious response from Utah's Capitol Hill. Let's get right to it and dig into this issue. And today on the podcast, I am joined by Representative Suzanne Harrison, Democratic representative from Draper, but she's also medical doctor and an anesthesiologist. So I thought it would be good to get her perspective on what's going on with the state's response to COVID-19, how we're doing in that space, along with a lot of the vaccine hesitancy and opposition. Representative Harrison, thank you so much for taking a few minutes.
Thanks for having me on the show, Brian, and your work in this space.
Let's talk a little bit about what's going on right now with this outrage about a proposal that we haven't seen yet. It's really hard for me to phrase this. A proposal we have not seen yet from the Biden administration to require businesses with 100 employees or more to either vaccinate or to test their employees to slow down the spread. Your Republican colleagues on the Hill are just spitting fire about this. They've been howling with outrage. I was at, as have a lot of the Republican Party leaders in this state. What is your take on this opposition to one, something we haven't even seen yet, and two, what seems to be, you know, a way to get past COVID, because that's the thing that we all want at this point?
Right. I think we're all ready to move past COVID. Unfortunately, this virus is not quite ready to be done with us. As someone who's been working in our hospitals during this fourth wave of the Delta wave, this is a huge problem, and we're still very strained. Our staff is exhausted, and we're having a hard time, you know, finding beds for the people that need care for whatever reason they need care. You know, my concern with what's going on right now is the same concern I've had since day one, that this is a political response to a public health problem. We haven't even seen the proposal in detail yet, and yet there's a lot of saber rattling and political theater going on. And my understanding, based on what the administration has said, is that this is a testing requirement with an opt-out if you choose to be vaccinated. People have a choice. And so, you know, throwing around words like mandates is just, I think, just politics.
You know, but it is, it do have to, it seems like this is a move by the administration to get people to take the vaccine, which is free, because testing is expensive. And that's going to be on the employer to pay for that. Because I don't think they can mandate an employee take a test or submit a test, or they'll have to go get a test and go through their insurance. Anyway, it's a higher cost test than to take the vaccine. So you do understand that part of it. But, you know, it seems to me that we've just run out of carrots. We've run out of carrots to get people to get vaccinated. And there are all sorts of reasons why people are not doing it. There's people who, you know, they have a religious exemption. That's fine. That's upheld by the Constitution. They have a medical exemption. That's fine as well. But, you know, then when people start saying, well, there needs to be a personal exemption, then you can't have a mandate if there's a personal exemption. But it just seems like we've run out of incentives to get people to do it. So now you've got to start making it hurt, I guess. So your employment, your ability to travel, perhaps go into a restaurant, those sorts of things, because that the vaccine is really the way that we're going to get past this. It's not really anything else.
You know, we really need people to get vaccinated. If they have real questions, talk to their doctor, a reputable source, for information about this. We need people to mask up. And certainly, you know, I understand that some people are very upset about what the president has done, but at least he's doing something. And certainly this will be decided in the courts. Based on the supremacy clause, and that this is going to impact businesses rather than the legislature, I think, you know, holding a special legislative committee meeting about this to just feed red meat to folks that are, you know, up in arms about something that we don't even have the details about yet is just politics. And we need rather than, and ultimately, I think this undermines our efforts to get people vaccinated and encourage them to wear masks. It's a distraction from what we really need to be doing to get through this pandemic, which is everyone doing their part and looking out for their neighbor by masking up and getting vaccinated.
There is some good news on the horizon, though. It looks like we will be getting emergency authorization, at least for the Pfizer vaccine, for younger people between the ages of 5 and 11, which is going to help a lot. And I know a lot of parents are waiting on that. But, you know, you brought up the term political theater. I've had a lot of people who are worried about this event. And I've spoken to Senator Kurt Bramble, who's going to be running it. And he said, well, I want people from both sides to come and present. But then I get emails from people who said, if he thinks that I'm going to go into a crowded room with a bunch of anti-vaxxers in the middle of a pandemic, he's crazy. So, you know, it seems like the incentive, at least, is for people who would be opposed to this. And as I wrote this morning, there's really not much the state do to oppose this, maybe filing a lawsuit. But it just seems like, and you also brought this up, that this is a political response to a medical emergency. And it just usually isn't good when people tend to politicize public health, right?
Absolutely. And I think I'm very interested to see what's going to be on the agenda for that meeting, because one of my concerns with what happened at a meeting last week is that a known anti-vaccine presenter was invited and given 30 minutes of precious legislative time, but it also gives credibility to folks that are clearly against vaccinations. And there was a lot of speculation and misinformation in that committee presentation. And I think all of this undermines the importance of getting vaccinated and helping people address real questions that they may have about getting vaccinated. I feel like to hold a legislative committee meeting on this again is, you know, in some ways, legislative leaders talking out of both sides of their mouth. On one side, they're like, yeah, vaccination is important. But on the other side, we're going to give credibility to these anti-vaccine groups by giving them special presentation time. And it just undermines the work that our doctors and nurses are trying to do to save lives. You know, I think anyone is entitled to their opinion. They can comment during a bill file presentation, but to give people the platform of legislative committee time is really dangerous to public health.
I was at that hearing, I did ask the Senate chair, Mike Kennedy, how that got on the agenda. He said, you know, it was a group discussion, but a lot of members of the committee on both Republican and the Democratic side said, we didn't say anything about this. It just kind of showed up. But you do make an interesting point that was the first interim committee meeting of the Health and Human Services Committee since before the summer, because July and August, the legislature took off because everybody was just completely burned out. You didn't have any interim meetings or anything. And so it was curious to me that ended up on that agenda, and they gave presentation time with no rebuttal. It was a group literally proposing what they would like to see in a piece of legislation that would block any mandate for a private business private business from instituting a vaccine mandate. And that just makes my jaw drop after covering the legislature for as long as I have, to hear Republicans open to the idea of stepping in and telling private businesses how they can do their business when it comes to something like this, after years and years and years of hearing, you know, it's a private business, we're not going to step in there. Now, I've spoken to legislative leaders, and they're really not in the mood of blocking a private business from doing what they want to do. But that it just seems like an interesting reversal. And I know you haven't been up on the Hill that long, but do you kind of get whiplash watching how these forces, or at least the justifications, are changing on the head of a dime?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Suddenly we're not in favor of business rights and free market principles. It's difficult. I think inviting groups like that have a known anti-vaccine agenda and are known for spreading misinformation is like inviting the flat earthers to teach geography class. And we really need to do better as a state we can't be, you know, halfway promoting vaccines, but then, you know, doing nothing to really quell the spread of this virus. You know, I was disappointed to see such emphasis on monoclonal antibodies this week among state leaders. Yes, monoclonal antibodies are effective for someone who has contracted COVID, but it's kind of like putting the ambulance at the bottom of a cliff rather than putting a safety railing at the top of a cliff. Let's prevent people from getting sick in the first place. We have lost over 2,800 Utahns to this pandemic. Recently, a quarter of the cases have been school kids. We need to do things to keep kids in school, to keep parents at work, and to keep our healthcare system from buckling. And I just am disappointed at the lack of real leadership.
One of the things that I do hear from your Republican colleagues is we need to put vaccines in a more positive light to encourage people to get them. Is there anything more that lawmakers, Governor Spencer Cox, other state leaders can do to encourage vaccinations? I understand the political concerns that they have. There is a large portion of the Republican base. Well, I guess a vocal portion. I'm not going to say a large portion, but a very vocal portion of the Republican base who is against vaccinations. So, you know, I understand that they're treading lightly, but, you know, I'm just wondering if you think there's a way to put this in a positive light so that people will be more, open to taking the vaccine when they haven't yet.
Yeah, well, I would start by not inviting known anti-vaxxers and giving them precious legislative time and a platform and credibility. Secondly, I really believe that the way to move forward on this is to get more vaccines in the hands of primary care doctors. People know and trust their primary care doctor, their primary care provider, and having the ability to have that conversation with someone that a patient already trusts could help address some of those real questions people have. I think the majority of folks that are vaccine hesitant are nervous about, you know, some misinformation they've seen or heard. And having that ability to have those real conversations with someone that they already trust and a reputable source of information is key to moving forward.
I think that those are wise words. I'm wondering how you explain this to people. And I'm not saying, and here I'm not talking about those who may have fallen to some misinformation, because there's a lot of them out there who get their news from Facebook or from someone that they trust, and they don't trust them, the media. And so they're getting this news that's essentially just information about vaccines. But I'm talking more about the people who are deliberately peddling, opposition to everything, because we all want to have no COVID, right? But in order for that to happen, we either need to have vaccinations, we need to wear masks, or we need to have a lockdown, right? Okay, you don't want to lockdown, then vaccines and masks are the answer, but we can't do that. Okay, I don't want the vaccines. Okay, masks or maybe a lockdown, that's the answer. I don't want to do that either. How do you explain to people that, you know, we all want the same thing, but you have to choose one of these paths to get there?
Yeah, it's hard. I try and break it down into what we're seeing in our hospitals and helping people understand that your individual choices on this actually do impact the whole community. It's not that you're living on an island and your choice about masking your vaccines impacts nobody else. That's not true. We have, because of the added burden of COVID patients, you know, I work in a busy operating room. We are canceling surgeries because there are no beds for people to, you know, an ICU bed doesn't take care of a patient. It needs a trained doctor and nurse. And we are more frequently than not full to the brim and canceling surgeries. It's not just, you know, no big deal surgeries. These are people that need cancer surgery or people that need, you know, cardiac care. We have to realize that we're in this together. And the day that this became politicized, I feel like it's been an uphill battle ever since. We cannot politicize public health. We cannot politicize good common sense medical advice. And we're all sick of this virus. I am too, everyone. But the virus is not done with us. We need to come together and, you know, as Utahns that care about each other, do our part. And it's been a long time. We're all tired, but we just need to stay strong and get through this to keep our kids safe and keep our kids at school, keep parents at work, and keep our healthcare system functional.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that as someone who does work in an operating room. How worried are you that our next thing is going to be a lot of people leaving the healthcare business because they're just burned out? I went and saw my own personal doctor a while ago, and he said to me, we're starting to see the same people again, and we're back to doing appointments in your car and telling people they have to go to the emergency room. And he said, and he said, we never stopped wearing masks. And we're just tired of this. And you see a lot of people who are just burned out. And I think that that's a major crisis that's coming down the way, because everyone who decides not to get vaccinated then goes running to the emergency room to save their life. And we're back the same place that we were before the vaccine was available. So I'm wondering, talking to your colleagues, how worried are you that this is a crisis that's coming, and we're just it's coming towards us, and there's not much that we can do about it unless we can stop this thing now?
I am worried about that. And to be clear, you know, healthcare workers are stressed and exhausted. I think the morale and the strain that this has placed on them is enormous. You know, a little over a year ago, healthcare workers were heroes, and now we're having, you know, healthcare folks getting assaulted at, you know, hospitals by people that are ticked off that they're asked to wear a mask. Come on, Utah, we got to be better than that. We all need to do our part to maintain civility and respect for each other and get through this. It's not just healthcare workers that I'm worried about a shortage of, it's teachers. You know, if you talk to teachers right now, they are getting the bullied and really mistreated. I was at a Canyon School District town hall. Teachers in my community are receiving death threats. School board members and superintendent are being threatened by parents that are angry about, you know, the meager things that we're doing to control the spread of this virus. It's just unacceptable how we're treating each other. And we need the adults to remember how to be adults and step up.
At some point, and you brought up the school board meeting. I don't know if you saw the video that came out on Wednesday night of that school board in Florida, where 5 hours of people just yelling at school board members. And, you know, that you bring up a good point. It's going to cascade. Teachers are going to be looking to do something else. And we're already understaffed when it comes to teachers. And so now they've got all this stress on them. So, you know, it's touching all these areas. We're going to be losing people on school boards who don't want to do that anymore. And I would love to see people who show up just to yell at the school board actually try to do that job for you know, an hour, because it's not glamorous. You know, it's not It's not all fights against critical race theory and things along those lines. You just literally have to make decisions, and it's not something that I would want to do. So, you know, I watch the public servants, and they're going to be driven out. Medical workers, I mean, this is just this virus is, it's relentless, and it's laying bare a lot of the problems that we were just able to sort of whistle past the graveyard. And, you know, I fear where we're heading with this, because it does not seem like it's going to be a good thing. We're going to be grappling with the aftermath of this for years and years.
Yeah. Well, and I would add too, I think those that are, you know, treating each other poorly are the vocal minority. I think most Utahns are trying to do their part, but we need political courage amongst elected officials to stand up to that vocal bullying minority and not give credibility to folks that are spreading misinformation. We need to work together. We need to listen to medical experts to get through this. And that's the very best way to keep our economy strong, keep kids in school, and keep parents at work.
Well, and the thing is, I was going to ask you this as we wrap up. You being on the minority side, there's just not a lot that you and your colleagues can do. You walked out of the House when they were considering their resolution on critical race theory. But, you know, if the Republicans are going to hold a special session on this, they're going to hold a special session. There's not a lot that you can do. You don't have enough to even block a decision because they have a super majority on the Hill. So how do you navigate this? Because I'm sure that you and your colleagues feel like a lone voice in the wilderness, although they're, you know, they're lone, but, you know, a small group in the wilderness, yelling about this when there's a vocal minority that seemingly has the ears and the attention of those who are in charge. So how do you navigate this as a member of the minority party in the state?
Well, I'm going to keep doing what I do every day, and that is speaking up for my community, speaking up for common sense and common sense solutions. And as a medical doctor, I bring that perspective, and I spoke against many of those bills that tied the hands of local health authorities to keep our kids and communities safe. I'll continue to speak up. And I really encourage folks to make sure that they're registered to vote and vote, because ultimately we elect those that represent us. And it's important to be electing folks that are looking for common sense solutions, not just feeding extreme bases.
I said that we were going to wrap up, but I just had a question jump into my mind, so I'm going to ask it because it is my show. You have Republicans in your district. How do you talk to them? What do you say to them when they disagree with some of the decisions you make, with some of the ways that you vote? Because, you know, they're at least on a national level, we are so polarized that people retreat to party politics before they try to look at good public policy. And that's a major problem we have in Congress. But how do you, who represents Democrats and independents and Republicans, how do you talk to those who disagree with you, especially on issues surrounding the pandemic? Because I'm sure that they're very, very passionate about the way that they're approaching this.
Absolutely. And you're right. I have a little bit of a benefit in that I'm politically a moderate and I don't fit in any box. But my medical training and my passion as a mom and as a community member is I'm unapologetic that we need common sense public health solutions for this. And the way I think to move ground on this is always remembering to listen first before speaking. Be respectful in our dialogue. And then I just come back to what is factual. You know, I may not be able to change people's minds, but I can speak to it from medical science and what I know to be the best practices and do it in a respectful way. And sure, there's going to be people that disagree with me, but I sleep just fine at night knowing that I'm speaking up for science and good medicine.
Is it hard?
And looking out for our kids and community.
I understand there are people who come to this with bad faith arguments, you know, but there is a large group of people who are legitimately feeling that they are doing what they feel is best for their children. They're best for their children. They're not coming at this because they're not opposed to vaccines or not opposed to masking or social distancing because of some partisan agenda. They truly believe this is what is right for their kids. Do you think that they hear you when you talk with them? Because they're not coming to you with a bad faith argument. There are a lot of people out there coming to you with a bad faith argument. They're arguing something they know is wrong, right? They know that it is false. But there are so many people who have a sincerely held belief that the way that they're approaching this, they do not want masks in children because they are worried that it is harming their kids. They are worried about what the vaccine might do to them in terms of side effects. Do you think that they hear you when you try to talk to them about why you're taking a particular stance? Because I suspect that that's a very, very hard conversation because they are coming to this from a sincere point of view.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And I truly believe that people that think completely differently than me on this have the best interests of their children at heart. And they believe that what they're doing is in the best interest of their kids. That is why, you know, I can talk till I'm blue in the face and I may not change a single mind, but that's why I think the key is for people to talk to their doctor, to that person that they already trust to take care of them and their family, having those one-on-one conversations with those trusted doctors in the community is going to be key, because politicians are probably not going to change any minds. And that's why I call this political theater, right? Like these meetings are people are already entrenched in what they believe. But if we can get folks to make an appointment with their care provider to have those trusted voices answer real questions, I think that's key to moving forward.
My thanks to Representative Suzanne Harrison. She is a Democrat representing Draper in the Utah legislature. If you have a moment, I'd like to ask you to leave a rating and review for this show. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Podchaser, pretty much anywhere that you can. Leaving a rating and review helps new people find the show. That's just the best way to grow our audience for this show, and we sure appreciate that. So if you could leave a rating and a review, that would be much appreciated. If you are a brand new listener and you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, just go ahead and hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Would appreciate that as well. Thank you so much for listening. We'll have another episode for you soon. I'm Brian Schott.